Scripture reading today is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you."
You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live your life as children of light. According to Ministry Matters contributor, light is not an end unto itself, but serves to make visible what is true and real. In response to God's grace in our relationship with Christ, we are to live in an honorable, upright way that needs no darkness in which to hide. Over the past several weeks, we have talked about God's light in creation, the continuation of God's light through Jesus, the light of the world, and then the light that shines through us so others may recognize God and give glory to God. So imagine, if you will, the light of creation. Remember, that was God's light to begin with, and then God's created light as the sun, moon, and stars. So God's light of creation spreading out across the entirety of the world. Pure and perfect light. And though there was the darkness of night also, there was not yet the darkness of sin or brokenness. Fast forward a bit, and the Hebrew scriptures point us to God's light in a different form, concentrating in the coming Messiah, Jesus. Jesus enters the world and claims his place as the light of the world, shining in all he said and did in his time on earth. Then Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world, designed to shine our light before others so that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. And now the culmination of all of this is found in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, that we are not only to shine our light, but walk as children of light. It almost brings us back to the glorious, pure God light of creation. For you were once in darkness, but you are now the light of the Lord. When sin entered the world, it brought with it spiritual darkness, separating us from the light. But Jesus brought the light back through his death and resurrection so that we would never be slaves to darkness again. Recently, the senior high youth group had been learning about, well, the entire Bible, actually, from Genesis to Revelation in a lesson series called The Story. The past couple of weeks have been focused on the Apostle Paul, and as I was preparing for this sermon using one of Paul's letters, his story, or rather Saul's story, came to mind. Now, I was going to ask a youth to tell me about Saul's journey, but we do not have any senior high youth. I guess they're still resting from after their epic Youth Sunday last week. So, I might pick on somebody else. Is there anybody that can tell me anything they know about Saul or what might be happening there? He was blinded. He was blinded by what? By what? What's that? Yep. Okay. Anything else?
Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus.
Yes. Could he see after this encounter? No, not right away. So the book of Acts tells us that Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, because remember, Saul did not like anyone who followed what he called the way, or the way of Jesus. So Saul just persecuted Christians left and right. And he was still breathing threats of murder against the disciples of the Lord. He actually went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was going along approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. A light from heaven. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard a voice and saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And Ananias said, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight." Ananias was not pleased at all with this. Ananias answered Jesus, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind up all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he has to suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, regained his strength. "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light of the Lord. Walk as children of light." Saul was once in darkness, inhabiting the darkness of sin against the followers of Jesus, and he was in literal darkness after he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. But then through Jesus, he became light, just as we are light, and he was able to again see and walk fully in that light. Later on, he became known as Paul and journeyed all over teaching people about the ways of Jesus, and he advised and encouraged the early churches. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Not just let your light shine, but walk as children of light. What does that mean, to walk as children of light? Let's take a look at a different translation of verses 8 through 10. "For once you were darkness, but now in the light in the Lord you are light. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. All that is good and right and true. The kinds of things that please the Lord." That brings to my mind the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. These are certainly the things that please the Lord. They are pure light. Nothing about any of these is darkness. Here comes the tricky part. It's one thing to try our best in living out the fruits of the Spirit. We can all think of ways to be more loving, more joyful, more patient, and so on. And those things do take effort in their own right. But the thing about light is, not only is it something that is warm and bright, but it is also something used to expose darkness. To walk in the light means exposing our dark places, That's not easy to do, is it? It's one thing to look at our lives and appreciate some of the good things we've said and done, but the dark things? I don't want to talk about the dark things. Do you want to talk about the dark things? Remember that thing I always like to say? God doesn't promise easy. God promises worth it. So while it is anything but easy to look at and fix our dark places in order to be fully in the light, in the end, it will always be worth it. Think about a time where you made a mistake. Maybe you said something that wasn't nice to someone else. Maybe you did something that was unkind. Think about a time you made a mistake, but then you fixed it. Or at the very least, you apologized for it or asked for forgiveness for it. Can you think about a time where that happened in your life? Where you made a mistake and someone forgave you, you asked for forgiveness, you fixed as best as you could that mistake. It was worth it, right? It was worth it to apologize. Not easy. It was worth it to go and seek out the person you wronged. It wasn't easy, but it was worth it. Now, imagine you are a home builder, and you've built this amazingly wonderful home and structure, and you're just getting ready to have all the final inspections, no correlation to anything going on in our own building addition, but you're just getting ready for the final inspections, and you notice something's wrong. Something wasn't put up correctly. Something wasn't done correctly. Something that could actually affect the integrity of the building. But you've got a deadline. And it probably won't affect it right away. May not affect it at all in your lifetime. Do you go back and fix it and risk your deadline? Or do you let it go? What happens to the house when you let it go? Eventually, it's going to fall apart. In fact, I actually just read a news story this week. I'm not going to remember where it was. Somewhere in Lancaster County, where there was a landlord who had a building divided up into apartments, because it was some kind of big house divided into apartments, and the landlord decided that he wanted some extra apartment space, so he went down into the basement. And he started digging, and he got his permits, and then the permits weren't going through. He had to do X, Y, and Z in order to get the permits, but he didn't want to do X, Y, and Z. And so he just started digging, and the entirety of the foundation, like, shifted and started to crumble, and now all those people who lived in the apartments above ground lost their homes, all because he wouldn't shore up what needed to be shorn up, or illuminate the dark places. The good news about addressing the dark places is that in so doing, we get the chance to repent and be forgiven and be renewed in Christ. I love the Message version of the next few verses just after our initial text for this morning. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in the darkness when no one else will see. Rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. When we walk in the light, we have no need to pursue things of darkness. Even though taking stock of our dark places and changing our ways takes work, sometimes a lot of work, the more we expose these things to the light, the less powerful they become, and the less control they have over us. And the more time and energy we have to focus on those things that are pleasing to the Lord. Now here's the cool part. While we are fully responsible for the way we live our lives, and the things we say, and the things we do, we are not alone in that work. God is our constant companion and encourager in that work. And we also have each other. Think for a moment about any of the dark places you may have dealt with in your life. Or think of a time that you struggled to do the right thing. Chances are there was a person or a group of people who helped you through it, right? You probably didn't do it all on your own. We weren't designed to shine alone, but to shine the light of Christ together. When we do that, Christ's light shines infinitely brighter. So earlier today, you received a thin candle. Imagine this unlit candle represents a dark place in your life. And it could be just a little thing, or maybe it's a huge thing, or maybe a medium-sized thing. We all have something. When you're ready, I invite you to take your candle and light it up here, representing your desire to illuminate the dark place and to give that burden over to God. Then add your lit candle to the container of sand. So you'll want to start kind of from the back, working your way front. But this is the light representing the light of God, the light of Christ that is in the world. And then this representing your dark place. And in lighting this candle, you're promised to illuminate that dark place, or be willing to illuminate future dark places. And then add your candle to the container. Look how much brighter the light is and how much warmer it is when each of us individually give our darkness over to God's light and then shine together. And we'll take this a step further. When we continuously focus on love and good deeds, when we continuously focus on what is and what are the fruits of the Spirit and doing all of those things, just like represented by these candles here, then no one will be able to blow out our lights. May it be so.